Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, we hope you enjoy this repeat broadcast.
Do we have inaccurate Bibles today? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we continued our look at a book called This Is My Doctrine, The Development of Mormon Theology, written by a BYU professor named Charles R. Harrell, published by Greg Cofford Books, came out in 2011. And we've been going through this book showing that some of the things that Professor Harrell has said about various Bible verses and how they should be understood don't always seem to concur with the way some Mormon leaders have looked at these verses. Yesterday, we began looking at a section dealing with the accuracy of the Bible. And I want to start off with a statement by Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, who said, "I believe the Bible as it read when it came from the pen of the original writers. Ignorant translators, careless transcribers, or designing and corrupt priests have committed many errors." Now, Eric, wouldn't you agree with the first portion of that citation from Joseph Smith where he says, "I believe the Bible as it read when it came from the pen of the original writers"? Wouldn't that be something that you would want as a Christian?
And that is what we call inerrancy. Inerrancy is the original manuscripts, the autographs we call them, are accurate. Obviously, as you get copying going on, there's a potential for errors. But what's wonderful, especially about our New Testament, is we have over 5,000 Greek manuscripts coming from different families, and they're able to trace these, and they're able to compare those to be able to see what the original said. And yes, there are little blips and other issues, but really, most of it does not affect any major doctrine. And that's the beautiful thing about the accuracy of our Bible. It is more authoritative in its accuracy than any other ancient book.
And what we were trying to bring out yesterday is, despite some of the statements from Mormon leaders like Bruce R. McConkie, or even the first presidency, which included at that time Ezra Taft Benson, Gordon B. Hinckley, and Thomas Monson, and then we had another citation from Neil Maxwell where he said, "By faulty transmission, many plain and precious things were taken away or kept back from reaching what later composed our precious Holy Bible." I would say that that would be a very difficult argument to defend, but many Mormons would readily jump at that kind of conclusion. Why? Because it bolsters Joseph Smith's claim as a modern Latter-day prophet. And of course, loyalty to Joseph Smith, for many Latter-day Saints, is first and foremost much more so than a loyalty to our Bible. So while you might have some Mormons paying what I would call lip service to the Bible, when it came down to what Joseph Smith said as compared to what the Bible says, I find most Mormons run to Joseph Smith. Well, in Harrell's book on page 97, we brought this up yesterday, he admits, and I'm going to quote from him, he says, "Aside from the countless minor scribal errors," and that's exactly what you were talking about, these blips, "scholars maintain that, quote, in general, the Bible has been transmitted and translated remarkably well." He goes on to cite BYU religion professor Stephen Robinson notes that informed Latter-day Saints are in general agreement that since the time of its compilation in the late 2nd or 3rd century, the Bible has been preserved with reasonably high fidelity and the texts are essentially correct in their present form. In supporting that premise, why don't we go to a statement that was made by Brigham Young University professor Lloyd Anderson. We often cite this statement when we do our symposiums at churches because we feel that it is so important, and I really feel it encapsulates the position that we as Christians would hold, and I think that many Mormon scholars would probably agree with as well.
You're right. And what Harrell has said, we're not saying that he's somebody who is high up in the church. We've admitted that yesterday in the program. But what he is saying is not far off from what biblical scholars do say about this. And this is even agreed upon by this BYU professor, Lloyd Anderson. Yes, it was 1963, but it was done at a symposium at BYU, and this is what it says. One can disagree with the textual assumptions behind some of the modern translations of the New Testament and still not be overly concerned with differences that are immaterial. For a book to undergo progressive uncovering of its manuscript history and come out with so little debatable in its text is a great tribute to its essential authenticity. First, no new manuscript discovery has produced serious differences in the essential story. This survey has disclosed the leading textual controversies, and together they would be well within 1% of the text. Stated differently, all manuscripts agree on the essential correctness of 99% of all the verses in the New Testament. The second great fact that such a survey demonstrates is the progress that has placed the world in possession of manuscripts very near to the time of their writing. One would have to be a student of ancient history to appreciate how much superior the New Testament is to any other book in its manuscript tradition.
Now, I would venture to say, as I stated yesterday, that many lay persons in the Mormon Church don't even know that this statement exists and probably wouldn't agree with it if they were not told that this was a BYU professor making the comment.
Wouldn't it be interesting, Bill, if we were to take both this statement by Anderson as well as Harrell's statement found on page 97 of his book, This Is My Doctrine, and we were to take it out on the street and ask Latter-day Saints what they thought of those two quotes? Do you think that most Latter-day Saints would say, oh, yes, I agree with that? Or would they be citing back to us Article 8, well, I can't believe the Bible because there's been many errors put into it? This is the point. These two men are stating what is real in the story of the Bible. The Bible has this accuracy that both of them are admitting, even though it's not proclaimed from General Conference pulpits or in church manuals very much. And in fact, the Bible is really, let's just be honest, it's minimized as far as its use. The Mormon will use the Bible when it supports some other issues in Mormonism, but generally, most Mormons are doing their devotions in the Book of Mormon and not the Bible.
You're right. Many times when we hear a Latter-day Saint cite the Bible, it's usually a pet proof text that they have found or have been told to use when discussing these issues with evangelicals. Many of them have not done a serious study on how our Bible came to be. We know this because we hear them giving really bad examples of what they think history is in the Christian movement, and certainly we would find fault with that. But Harrell goes on to discuss two particular passages in the Book of Mormon, such as 1 Nephi 13:24.
Yeah, and he brings this up in the book. This is what 1 Nephi 13:24 in the Book of Mormon says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto me, Thou hast beheld that the book proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, and when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, it contained the fullness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record, and they bear record according to the truth, which is in the Lamb of God." And then go a few verses later, in verse 28, it says, "Wherefore, thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that there are many plain and precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God."
So he seems to understand these passages as saying that the book was pure, the Bible was pure, but corrupted later on, and he mentions the culprit, the great and abominable church, which a lot of early Latter-day Saints assume that this was the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
Now, even though I might not agree with a lot of Roman Catholic doctrine, I just can't imagine at all that a lot of Catholic scholars or Catholic scribes were going through the various manuscripts and recopying them in a way to support Catholic teaching, because one of the arguments that many of the Reformers used, they were using the same Bible that the Catholic Church had. They were merely pointing out what they felt were incorrect interpretations of the verses.
If you were to do that and you were to make some notation and change something, how easy would that be to catch? Because you have thousands of manuscripts to be able to compare it with. You'd have to go and make that same change in all of the manuscripts to be able to get away with it. You're talking about an almost impossible way of being able to keep that as part of the original Bible.
Yeah, I would say, as we've said many times on this show, that would be one of the greatest conspiracy theories of all time, that any one entity, even the Roman Catholic Church, could go through all the various manuscripts and doctor them up in order to put out a position that they felt should be believed as opposed to what they thought was originally written in the text. That's just an impossible argument. But what does Harrell say on page 98?
He says, since LDS scholars generally concur that the Bible as we now have it is an essentially faithful translation of the surviving manuscripts, some have chosen to interpret 1 Nephi 13:24 as meaning that these plain and precious truths were either removed from individual manuscripts before the Bible was compiled, or they were present in certain manuscripts that never found their way into the Bible. Nephi specifically states, however, that it was, quote unquote, the book itself that would go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles. That's from 1 Nephi 13:23 through 25. And only after that did he see, quote, the formulation of that great and abominable church which has taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious, end quote.
And I think he makes an excellent point here. I wish a lot of Latter-day Saints would read this for what he says, because Nephi specifically states, however, that it was the book itself that would go forth from the Jews in purity from the Gentiles. If that's the way it really happened, then wouldn't it be easy to compare manuscripts and find the manuscripts that had been corrupted, which would be the newer ones, we would think, as opposed to the older ones, which would be more accurate, and show where these changes were made?
This is why the modern translations of the Bible are good, to be able to see the notes at the bottom of some of those spurious passages, such as, for instance, in 1 John chapter 5, there are verses that are not considered to be most accurate regarding the Trinity because they were not in the early manuscripts. And so if you look at a modern version, you'll see the notes that say, this is not found in the earliest manuscripts, which are considered to be the most accurate. You want to go back as far as you can. Also, the rule in translation is to always take the more difficult text. So they're not trying to make it easier on themselves. They include those things, though, to say, this is not what was originally written, and we have those accurate notes in there to help us know where those blips are.
And when you bring up 1 John 5 regarding the passage that has often been cited to support the Trinity, the fact that you have Bible scholars admitting that that's questionable, doesn't that tend to show the honesty on their part?
Right.
Why not use that verse? Why not be quiet about
yep.
it and let it go on? But no, they are at least honest enough to admit that that's a questionable passage and should be accepted as a questionable passage. But at the same time, we would say we don't even need that verse to support the Trinity. We have plenty of other verses that could do that. I think what Harrell says on these particular pages is something valuable, and hopefully Mormon lay people will take a look at what he has to say.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. We hope you're enjoying Bill and Eric's review of the book, This Is My Doctrine. We've prepared a 50-page PDF collection of citations and notes that correspond to this series. And for your donation of any size to Mormonism Research Ministry, we'd like to send this to you. Simply go to mrm.org and click on the Donate button on the right side of the page. In the Add Special Instructions box, simply write Radio Notes. We'll email this file to you so you can follow along. MRM thanks you for your generous support.